This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 12:03. It's great to have you with us for the Monday edition of the Noon Business Hour. I'm Cisco Cotto. The Noon Business Hour is presented by Republic Bank of Chicago. No market activity today. They are closed in observance of the Martin Luther King Jr. Day holiday. America's retailers hoping for another round of stimulus checks. We'll cover that in our next segment. Do they actually push the economy forward? Right now, the coming days will include the inauguration of America's new president and another batch of earnings reports. We're joined by Tom Hudson. He is the Week Ahead columnist for McClatchy Tribune News Services based in Miami. Tom, it's always good to have you with us here. So we have the inauguration of a new president in just a couple of days. Do we expect economically, policy-wise, there to be any significant changes, especially right up front?
Yes, in fact, we do. Certainly with a Democratic party in power in the Oval Office, in the House of Representatives, and with a one-vote majority, thanks to the Vice President-elect Kamala Harris in the Senate, the Democrats having the legislative and executive branch, we saw the president and his incoming administration tip its hand with real specifics on its economic plans for its initial, what has been called the down payment from the Biden administration for an economic stimulus and pandemic response, about $2 trillion or so, you know, increasing economic stimulus checks to individuals, to American families, increasing unemployment benefits from the federal government or lengthening that time. And then, of course, hundreds of millions of dollars of spending designed for state and local governments regarding the pandemic, including school districts. So, the markets anticipated this over the last several weeks, frankly, and the president-elect has been very clear that he expects this to be a down payment. Now, whether or not this gets enough of a vocal reception amongst Republicans in the Senate, and of course, whether or not there's an impeachment trial of soon-to-be former President Donald Trump, remains to be seen. But for the time being, a new president looking ahead, and I think that's what investors are really like to do. And for that matter, Cisco, corporations in the week ahead, by really not forgetting about the 2020 financial statements, but really looking ahead, looking for a rebound in 21 and in 22.
Well, there is a desire, like you say. I mean, you can't really forget 2020. You can't act like it didn't exist. But right. If you're an investor or someone who's running a company, you have to look to the future. You don't want to keep dwelling on all those losses.
You've got to, and investors have not been shaken by those losses certainly the year-over-year losses that are being reported as we're seeing the fourth quarter financial statements beginning last week with some of the major banks, some of the major technology companies. In the week ahead, investors anticipate optimism. They anticipate hopeful outlooks as earnings season picks up. You know, profits for the S&P 500 companies in the fourth quarter are forecast to drop 8.5% year over year, the fourth consecutive quarter of shrinking bottom lines. But it is that look ahead, similar to the tone that the president-elect Biden is going to likely strike with his inaugural address, which is looking forward, looking at that horizon. A few companies already have said that the results are going to be better than expected, and that helps improve the valuations that we see in the broader stock market, and that helps going to bolster the confidence that investors have clearly exhibited with bidding up the prices of stocks.
Let's talk about Netflix briefly here. Earnings report tomorrow after the bell. I'm guessing investors are wondering if they're still adding subscribers now that the pandemic seems to be letting up a little bit.
Yeah, that's exactly what it's all about. Where are the subscribers being added in developed countries? How are the current existing subscribers dealing with the price increase that Netflix has felt comfortable doing? And remember, when Netflix has price inflation, I'm using air quotes there, it's never by several dollars per month. It's by only a few dollars per month. So it's a slow creep of the increase in price of Netflix. And investors have been rewarded richly because of this.
Thanks so much, Tom Hudson, Week Ahead columnist at McClatchy Tribune News Services, based in Miami. Always good analysis. Just ahead, translating stimulus money into real dollars. Do those checks actually spur the economy forward? Retail sales fell last month, but there is hope. Pandemic stimulus money will encourage consumers to spend. Jan Rogers Niffen is joining us, CEO of J. Rogers Niffen Worldwide. Jan, I don't know, maybe it's too early to tell. Did the last round of stimulus checks actually do anything as far as sales? Are people spending that money, or is that either going in the bank or going on debt or something else like that?
Well, you know, those checks came out, except they weren't checks. 70% of that came out electronically, so people immediately got it in their accounts. And yes, they spent it, because as you probably know, after Christmas, things slowed down some like they always do. And the minute the checks hit, we went back to positive store-for-store comps in most of the traditional retailers. So yes, people spend it. And what we've discovered in the past is they spend about 30% of what they get in those checks immediately. They pay down debt with about 20% of those checks, which also gives them the ability to spend, because what they did was pay down credit card debt. And then about another 30% goes in temporary savings to be spent as it goes along. So yeah, it definitely lifts the economy. And if we get another $1,400 pushed out to everybody that makes less than $75,000 a year household income soon, because that seems like that's coming in the new Congress, that's going to be another big spike in spending. And that's, you know, we can sure use that in the retail side of the business. What it does for the long-term economy, I'm not going to debate with you, but I can tell you in the short term, it drives spending among retailers really, really well.
And for retailers, some of whom are just trying to stay alive and others who are worried about the bottom line because their stock price depends upon it, are they not necessarily worried about those long-term economic issues? I mean, they need people to buy their products today.
Yeah, we're cheering every time somebody comes out with a stimulus package and pushes a bunch of money out to the consumers because, you know, we have a short-term view. It's called next quarter, and the quarters have been pretty tough to come by, and this really helps a lot if you're a retailer. And the fact that now all the government entities seem to be talking about opening up instead of shutting down, because they were talking about shutting down until recently, and now you're hearing even in New York people talking about opening back up instead of shutting down. That would help retail a lot as well, because as soon as people can get out and shop, they've been shown to get out and shop. So we're pretty excited about the stimulus checks in the retail business. And as you probably saw, it turned out holiday sales weren't that bad. National Retail Federation says true holiday spending was up almost 8% year over year, which would be a record for the last at least decade. So it's better than people are telling you. No matter what the government numbers show, people are spending on gifts, they're spending on the home, they'll continue to do that as long as they have money, and they'll continue to have money if we keep pushing checks out to them.
And in this post-holiday season, is that ordinarily slow for retailers, so stimulus checks and money getting spent actually benefits them even more?
January is always the slowest retail sales month of the year. It has been forever, and it will be again this year. But when you put money in people's pockets, they will spend it, despite the fact that they spent for holiday. So, yes, this will lift the January-February picture quite a bit. And then if there's more coming behind it soon, like in the next 8 weeks, which is what we all think, we'll get a big blast for spring, which is traditional beginning of the new selling season. You know, it always ramps up sometime around Easter.
Then do you expect that it might lead to more jobs in retail if you have people going out and spending this money?
Retail jobs have really taken a beating, and we will certainly see people rehiring the minute they see the consumer coming back. And now, since so much of this stuff is getting ordered digitally and either picked up curbside or picked up at the store rather than direct shopping in the store, we need a lot more people to handle the logistics. And we've been hiring, but we'll hire a lot more if it looks like this is going to be a roaring 20s selling period like I've been predicting starting in April.
Thanks so much, Jan Rogers Niffin, CEO of J. Rogers Niffin Worldwide. Up next, more retailers launching their own credit cards. But are they actually worth it for the consumer and for the company? Also, Stock Picker Monday, coming up at 12:49.
Buy, sell, listen. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Suburban-based Walgreens, part of a new trend involving retailers launching their own credit cards. Joining us on the ComEd Energy Efficiency Business Line, Ted Rossman, industry analyst at creditcards.com. Ted, we want to talk about retailers and consumers here and whether there's really any benefit to this. Let's begin with the retailers. I would assume that there's money to be made because that's why they begin launching these credit cards.
Absolutely. There's a lot of money to be made here. Morgan Stanley said a few years ago that more than a third of Macy's total profit came from its store credit card. And there's really a few different money makers here. There's basically a finder's fee that the bank will pay the retailer for bringing in customers. There's also some savings because typically when the retailer's own card is the one being used, that interchange that normally a retailer would pay a bank, that normally gets refunded either in part or entirely. And then there can also be revenue sharing on other fees, like, for example, interchange when the card is used elsewhere, or sometimes even interest, late fees, other fees. It's really a good deal for retailers. Plus, they make more sales, too, when they breed this kind of loyalty.
Well, and that's it. Loyalty is the key, right? They assume that people with the perks that they get with that card, the rewards, that sort of thing, that they're just going to keep coming back and using their store.
Loyalty is key, and that goes both ways. It's something that retailers love, of course, but it's also something that consumers can benefit from. And you do have to be careful with some store credit cards because many of them charge higher interest rates, and sometimes the rewards are not so great, but sometimes they actually are compelling. And there are certain retailers that give you 5% cash back every time you shop with them. So those would include stores like Best Buy, Lowe's, Amazon, Gap. These are some of the more attractive ones. You have to pay in full for it to be worth it. You don't want to pay 20 or 25 or 30% interest, but if you pay in full, you shop there a lot, you take advantage of the perks, it's actually a good deal all around.
So, yeah, let's talk about that. When you're a consumer and you get one of these credit cards, as long as you're saying, you don't end up letting the balance sit there so that you're paying the interest rates, you can get all kinds of rewards just depending upon what kind of store it is.
You can. I want people to also consider the opportunity cost, though, meaning could you have done better with something else? If you're very loyal to a store, something like 5% cash back is probably better than you would get on a general purpose card. But we should only make so many credit applications because it can affect your credit score, it can affect your overall finances and your organization. So you definitely want to make sure that you're only applying when it makes sense. Sometimes you're better off just getting your general purpose Amex, Chase, Citi, Capital One card. Or if you really are loyal, then it can be worth it. But definitely read into it before signing up. A lot of people do it impulsively at the checkout. That's when you can get into mistakes.
Yeah, especially if you're not going to pay it off every month. You may save 5% on a purchase, but end up paying 24% in interest.
That's super expensive. And a lot of the worst offenders we found charge about 30% APR, which is astronomical. And those included a lot of jewelry stores like Zales and Kay. Also, Discount Tire was one of the ones at the very top of the interest rate range. Big Lots is another one. So, yeah, if you're ever carrying a balance, these store cards are not for you. Get the lowest rate you can, maybe a credit union card, or stick to cash or debit, or maybe even one of those new buy now, pay later services like Affirm or Afterpay. Those are actually really challenging store cards, and they serve a lot of the same easy financing kind of purpose.
Thanks so much, Ted Rossman, industry analyst at creditcards.com. Still ahead, some workers are missing their commute so much, they are recreating their commute even as they work from home.
Cash, credit, debit, and totally free. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
The Noon Business Hour presented by Republic Bank of Chicago. Markets are closed today. Let's take a little time to talk about where they are and where they may be headed. Jim Welsh is here, macro strategist and portfolio manager at Smart Portfolios based in San Diego. You can find him online as well. Jim, it's really good to have you here. So let's talk about where we've been so far this year in 2021. How's it looking?
Well, so far, you know, the market is doing okay, especially the small cap stocks relative to just about everything else. But I think that's where there is a little bit of a yellow caution flag waving Cisco, in that if one looks at a chart of the Russell 2000 from the low it made in September, the pattern looks of five waves up, looks like it's almost complete. So I think the Russell is nearing a high. We may see a little bit more strength, you know, sometime this week. But I think looking at where the Russell is, where sentiment is, the market has come a long way, obviously, in the last few months. I think we're getting close to a pullback of 5 to 10% over the next few weeks.
And is that just because the fundamentals do not support the stock prices where they are now?
Yeah, I mean, basically what you have is the market has been willing to overlook what's happening in the short term regarding COVID, the slowing of the vaccination rollout and so forth, on the belief that the second half of this year is going to be really, really good. And I don't necessarily disagree. There's a lot of things we don't know yet about the vaccine and, you know, antibodies, how long they're going to last, whether I get vaccinated and 2 months from now I get COVID and I can transmit it. These are important questions. We don't have the answers yet. So the market has been willing to overlook all this stuff, Cisco, and I just think there's a potential that over the next 2 to 4 weeks, the market is going to maybe pay a little bit more attention to some of the negativity that is there. And I think that leads to a quick, sharp correction in the market.
And is there, I mean, we're talking sectors here now, are there sectors that are maybe more immune to that pullback, or do you think this is going to be market-wide?
No, that's a good question. It really comes down to relative strength, you know, so all the sectors may be potentially, if the market drops by 10%, you know, all the sectors will probably dip a little bit. But I think utilities, to me, stand out. They pay a decent yield, which I think is beneficial. And the other thing I'm looking for is two things. A, I think the dollar is going to rally in the first half of this year, which is obviously against what everyone else is saying. Secondly, if I'm right about COVID causing a short-term correction in the market, I think Treasury yields are actually going to come down. And as yields come down, that would be supportive of the utility. So to me, the utilities are the one attractive area to kind of bridge what then could happen in the next handful of weeks.
And that yield that you talked about, that dividend that is paid out, is that something, you know, a lot of people just treat that like gravy. They don't really care about it. But over time, that can actually be pretty significant.
Yeah, I mean, relative to getting almost 0%, I'm not sure. XAU is the ETF that I'm talking about, and I can't remember if it's close to 3% or not, but compared to almost 0% in the money market, you're right. The point you're making is that does accumulate, and it also offers some support in terms of decline. So just technically, that ETF, and for the other reasons cited, I think that looks attractive in the short term, especially if the market does undergo a pullback.
The interesting thing to me, talk about the tech sector for a moment. The interesting thing to me is it seems like there's a lot of growth there. Those are the sexy stocks that people really like to get into and talk about. And yet, is there a chance that those are even more frothy because of all of that excitement?
They really, truly are, Cisco. I mean, the fundamentals are great for obvious reasons. But if you look at the number of call options, last Thursday, 31 million call options, option activities of about 250% from early in 2020. Penny stock trading is up sixfold. So what's happening is an awful lot of people are getting their government checks, and they're jumping in doing trading of options. And it's typically call options on the FMANG stocks, the tech stocks that are great companies. But I think they've got stretched a little bit too far. The tricky thing here is if President Biden's proposal passes and another $1,400 goes out, we're going to see those stocks probably spike again as people buy call options. And that forces the dealer community, crazily enough, to buy the stock to hedge the position. So there's going to be, I think, a fair amount of volatility over the next near term 1 to 3 months, in part because of the money coming from the government that a lot of Gen Zs and millennials are going to use to trade options on these big stocks as well as penny stocks.
Thanks so much. That's really, really good insight. That is Jim Welsh, macro strategist, portfolio manager at Smart Portfolios. Just ahead, at-home workers find themselves missing the morning commute, so some people working at home are just recreating it.
Currency events. You're listening to the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
Some people working from home find themselves missing what was once a potential hassle, that commute. Joining us on the ComEd Energy Efficiency Business Line, Tom Gimbel, founder and CEO of the recruiting and staffing firm LaSalle Network here in Chicago. Tom, why in the world would people miss that commute?
Well, there's a chance to decompress at the end of the starting at the end of the day. There's a chance to decompress before you get home, whether you're dealing with a significant other or kids, or quite frankly, just before you enter that part of your day evening, is to not have the pressure of preparing dinner, turning on the TV, seeing and interacting with other people, but just to decompress. In the morning, it's about you've been rushing to get dressed, you're rushing to think about your day, and you get to sit either in your car, on the train, on the bus, taking a walk, and just let it process. And that's what our bodies have become accustomed to. And without being too crazy about it, it's really no different than cavemen back in the day. You didn't just go outside and hunt and kill something. You went into the woods to go do it. You went into the ocean to get fish. You need that time back and forth to process things.
And so what are they doing? I mean, now they are at home. Are they walking around the block or something, just trying to come up with some kind of a routine?
So that's really the problem, is that people, and a lot of people who have kids are seeing that with their children with homeschooling, is they're rolling out of bed and have their laptop, they're not taking showers or brushing their teeth, and the same thing with adults with work is they're rolling right out of whatever their morning ritual is of getting their kids ready or just getting out of bed, and they log on to their computer. And it doesn't mean they're not working, it just means there's no preparation emotionally and mentally. So what we've been advising our staff and our clients is commute to work, meaning if you're working from home, get up and go take a 20 or 30 minute walk around your neighborhood and then re-enter your house as though it's your place of business versus your bedroom in your house, and actually philosophically and literally get into the habit of commuting again. And it really is a life-changing thing emotionally.
And is that also helpful because you need to pull away from work at some point? You can't have the situation where if you're awake, it seems like you're working because it's right there in your den or your living room or wherever you work.
Well, whether you have an iPad or your phone or a computer, you hear the ding, 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 ding of every email and Teams message or Zoom call or text message. So you're absolutely right on that, Cisco. And it's funny because so many people, when they come into work for one day or to pick something up and they go into the office, they all comment. In my company, clients, friends, they go, God, it felt so good to be commuting to work. It felt so good. You felt alive walking into your office, even if there aren't a lot of people there, just because it's what's supposed to be happening.
Yeah, we've actually had several people here at the station say the same thing on the few times that they've had to come in. Man, just getting on the expressway, driving in, seeing the skyline, there's something about it when you've been used to it for so many years.
Being in the same place 24 hours a day, and even if you go out and pick up your coffee or your Egg McMuffin, it's not the same as working for 7, 8, 9, 10 hours in a different place and then going home. We need that most people, there's a few people that can do it, and I'm not discouraging or discounting them, but the majority of people that we talk about why the depression rate's up, why telehealth is up so much, why the suicide rate has increased, and human beings, we need, it's not just the interaction, it's the change of scenery that people get from going into an office, and we're missing that by leaps and bounds right now.
Yeah, I find it interesting, the idea of people getting up, getting showered, getting dressed, maybe driving through a fast food restaurant, getting some kind of a sandwich, and then coming back to their house and walking up to that desk. That's enough to have that little psychological change.
just a little bit to give them a sense of normalcy. And if you come out through your garage, you enter through the front door, enter through the back door. It's little things like that that can trigger your brain. And it's not, our brains are the most complex computers there are, and simultaneously, they're easy to fool. And what we've got to do is figure out what is our routine, where is our office, how are we going to go about it, and then sticking to it. The problem is, it's so easy to not get out of your house, to just roll out of bed, that even when we know it's right, we tend to take the path of least resistance, and all that does is lay into the aspect of being sad and into this rut, just like not working out. We know it's better to work out, but for some reason, we just don't want to do it.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing with the commute.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you, Tom Gimbel. He is founder and CEO of the recruiting and staffing firm LaSalle Network.
Money talks as the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Stock Picker Monday on the Noon Business Hour, sponsored by Wealth Management Group. Joining us with a pair of investment ideas, CEO of Horizon Investment Services, Chuck Carlson, also publisher of the Dow Theory Forecast newsletter based in Hammond. Chuck, always good to have you here. What's your first pick?
Well, the first pick, Cisco, is a company called Quanta Services. The symbol is PWR. The stock trades for about $76 a share. Quanta is hardly a household name. It's on the smaller side, about a $10 billion market cap. But it's what we call kind of a growth cyclical stock. It's a company that's involved in economically sensitive businesses, but a sector where there's some real nice growth potential in 2021 and beyond. The company is a nice infrastructure play on the utility sector, which obviously needs a lot of work, improving the infrastructure and hardening the utility lines, as well as in the communications area and building out 5G. So it's in two nice areas for growth. The company has beaten their earnings estimates in each of the last four quarters. And again, for investors kind of wanting to play kind of an industrial value cyclical stock, but with all the risk that comes with those really heavy cyclicals, Quanta Services is a nice way to play that. Again, PWR is a symbol, $76 a share.
And you mentioned that they're involved in 5G. I mean, that's just beginning. Is that where you really see the growth potential?
I see it there, but also, again, in kind of the build-out of the infrastructure, especially in the utility sector, where there really needs to be improvement, especially when you look at the West Coast, for example, and all the problems that they've been having out there from the utility lines. So they're in really two pretty strong growth markets.
Okay, so that is Quanta Services, PWR. What's your second pick?
The second pick is a small regional bank, Service First Bank Shares. The symbol is SFBS. The stock trades for $42 per share. I think if investors are looking to where there is still value in this market, I think financials, although they had a nice move in the fourth quarter, still offer opportunity. When we look at them and look at valuations, they're not just strong on a relative basis versus the rest of the market, but they're pretty strong, too, when you look at the company's historical valuation. Service First is an Alabama-based bank with all their branches down in the southeast, so in Florida, Georgia, Alabama, Tennessee. So in areas of the country where you're seeing good population growth, and I think that's important for regional banks. Dividend yield of about 1.9%. The company raised their dividend just recently, 14%. So you saw a double-digit dividend increase, which was kind of a rarity over the last 12 months. They've beaten earnings estimates in each of the last four quarters. The stock is down about 8% from its 52-week high, so you're not buying at the top. And finally, it's trading at less than 15 times their 2021 earnings estimates. So, and I think that estimate will turn out to be conservative. So it's a nice, solid regional bank in a market sector, excuse me, that we think will outperform the overall market in 2021.
Thanks so much. Chuck Carlson, CEO of Horizon Investment Services, also publisher of the Dow Theory Forecast newsletter. He's our Monday stock picker this week. Quanta Services, PWR, and Service First Bank Shares, SFBS.